Introduction. How are you going to die? How do you think I'm going to die? Most every night on stage, my partner Teller has a bullet signed and loaded into a gun by a stranger. He turns on the laser sight, aims the gun at my face, and pulls the trigger. Bang! The bullet catch is just a trick, but it's the most dangerous trick in show business. At least 12 magicians have died on stage pretending to catch a signed bullet. If you count carnies as magicians, and magicians don't, the number of people, if you count carnies as people, and many rubes don't, killed doing this trick jumps to over 14. These are men and women who were shot dead on stage in front of a live audience. When a magician fucks up a card trick, the crowd is simply more entertained if the trick had gone as planned. When a magician fucks up with a gun and live ammo, the audience has nightmares for the rest of their lives. Penn and Teller done the bullet catch more than any other magicians in history, and it's a long history. The plot of the trick, sign the bullet, load the gun, shoot me, goes back to Native American magicians. I didn't even know there were Native American magicians before I worked on this trick. It doesn't seem like the wisest trick to use to entertain violent invading foreigners. Our mentor, Johnny Thompson, had already lost two friends to the bullet catch. We started working on it, and he asked us to please not do it. But we felt we could do it safely, and Johnny knew we had a better chance of being safe with his help than without it, so he worked with us on it. Since we started doing that trick in 1996, I have had a gun fired at my face on stage 4,460 times. On any given night, chances are I'm staring down the barrel of a gun. But the bullet catch will not kill me. Most likely, my death will not cause our audience members to be interviewed on CNN. I will die, like many Americans will, as a result of spending most of my life being a fat fuck. By the time I turned 59, I had been more than 100 pounds overweight for over a decade. And before that, I had been 50 pounds overweight for over a decade. And before that, I had been 30 pounds overweight for over a decade. And before that, I was a homeless, skinny teenager hitchhiking around the country who, for a brief, sexy, statistical blip, might have been a little more likely to die from a gun than a donut. No one has ever been seriously hurt working with Penn and Teller, and that includes Penn and Teller. We are tight-ass and careful. Safety in magic, safety in art, for me, is more than self-preservation. Doing tricks in the safest way possible is more than just concern for my coworkers. Making dangerous-looking events safe is my job. That is the art. Letting dangerous things be really dangerous is not magic. That's not art. We do tricks on stage that appear to be dangerous. We are asking the audience to enjoy themselves on our roller coaster. We want their visceral and their intellectual to collide at faster miles an hour. We're expecting them to feel their lizard heart race at the apparent danger while their human brain says, "It's just a show. They've never been hurt." In order for our art to be valid, in order for our tricks to celebrate life and health while thrilling the audience, those tricks must be safe. There are magicians who try to convince their audiences that the tricks really are dangerous. They try to convince the audience that their tricks aren't tricks. That's worse than lying. There are magicians who have been hurt, and there are more who perform cheesily staged accidents that are reported by a credulous, jaded media as real incompetence. The cynical business model is that the public will come to see their shitty acts in the hope that the show might contain real suffering and maybe death. This makes the audience complicit in unnecessary human risk. I don't know how many in the audience truly believe they're going to the theater to witness a clumsy, stupid, unskilled, careless asshole suffer and die. But if anyone really is, Penn and Teller don't want them in our audience. We don't want them as fans. Fuck them in the neck. Shakespeare and Call of Duty are able to thrill people and celebrate life without anyone getting hurt. We want to be like them. We don't want to be like NASCAR. That paragraph is a self-righteous rant I've been spitting out for 20 years. I carry on about how precious life is and about how art, no matter how soaked in artificial blood and heart-racing terror, must always be safe. I show contempt for those of my peers who hang by their nipples from helicopters or pretend to come very close to drowning. And during the whole time I was preaching this, the whole time I was bragging about how careful we were and how much we loved life, I was closer to stroking out on stage from being a fat fuck than any of those assholes were to theatrical injury. And when I died, there wouldn't even be a good story. Roy of Siegfried and Roy gets his head bitten off on stage of the Mirage by a fucking tiger. How is that less artistic and beautiful than slow-mo death from fucking donuts? It's not that simple, of course. Siegfried claims that Manticore, the tiger, sensed Roy's high blood pressure and bit his fucking head off to save him. I believe that SNR believed that, but I don't believe it. If there were any chance of that being true, there would be more white tigers on the Mayo Clinic payroll. If tigers could smell hypertension and wanted to fix it with carotid artery bloodletting, they would have spent every performance biting more necks than Stefan Salvatore. People in Las Vegas are fat and dying because of it. Even if a bite to the neck would cure it, there aren't enough hungry tigers left in the world to save our fat asses. I guess, statistically speaking, I will still die of some sort of heart thing. I was fat for a long time. It seems like age 59 is a little too late to repent, but all the charts show that I've increased my life expectancy at least a bit by losing over 100 pounds and eating better. I dismiss Roy Horn's medical tiger treatment, but it sure isn't more stupid than me getting out of breath, walking up a flight of stairs, and not changing a goddamn thing. I ate a handful of pills every morning. I was in the hospital a couple times a year, and I still ate like a pig. I ate worse than a pig. I ate like an American. Roy's assessment of Manticore's motives is sage compared to my stupidity. Drowning while hanging by my tits from a helicopter while catching a bullet in my teeth is at least more exciting and life-affirming than feeling my vitality slide away because I'm in the habit of eating pizza. God damn, I'm a fucking idiot. 3 months before my 60th birthday, I radically changed the way I ate. With the help of Ray Cronice, Cray Ray, as I came to call him, I lost over 100 pounds. I feel better than I can ever remember feeling. My doctors were all amazed. My family is no longer worried. I didn't lose weight in order to write a book. I didn't train myself to eat healthy in order to share my techniques with the world. I didn't do it because the trips to the hospital scared me skinny. I did it because I wanted to give myself a few more chances to die from the bullet catch.